The Gemara at the bottom of Gimel Mabez comes back to the first topic in the Mishnah from Beis Amud Aleph, but a sukkah that's gavoya me'eser mama is not kosher. And if you remember on Beis Amud Aleph, we had three reasons why a sukkah that's gavoya me'eser mama is not good. One reason of Rabba was because the pasuk says, "Haman yedid orasechem kibasukah seishavti is bnei Yisrael." You have to be aware that you're sitting in the sukkah. But mama me'eser mama lo shalta be'ena. Nobody looks so high. Reb Zera's opinion was that it's because you have to be sitting in the shade of the schach, not in the shade of the walls. And if it's so tall and somewhat narrow, you might be sitting in the shade of the walls, not in the shade of the schach. And Rav's opinion was because the sukkah, basukos teshu shivas yamim, the sukkah is supposed to be a temporary dwelling. If you make it so tall, it's going to have to be made in a permanent way. You know, as we mentioned, you can make it in a permanent way, but it has to be able to be made temporarily. And if it's so tall, it won't be able to be made temporarily. We're going to come back to that as we go through this sugya. But the Gemara tells us over here, of course, the sukkah gavoya me'eser mama is no good. But what if you want to try and fix the situation? So what can you do? So the Gemara says, "Haisa gavoya me'eser mama ubo lamata." You want to make it less than 20 amas, without lowering the roof. So you're going to want to raise the floor. So what do? You put it at the bottom of the floor, bekar and viksosa, it's pillows and blankets. So lo havi miyut. The Gemara says that doesn't constitute minimizing the height of the sukkah, or, you know, for this purpose, raising the floor. V'yafo gavdu bat linu lukuhu. Even though you mavatu it there, it doesn't consider to be raising the floor. Mishum debato daito eito kol adam. Most people, when they put down pillows and blankets on the floor, they don't intend for that to become a permanent part of their floor. There might be exceptions to that rule, but that's the general assumption. So the Gemara says, even if you do have in mind, for the purpose of sukkah, that's the most accessible thing you have in order to raise the floor. You don't have extra flooring around, but you do have pillows and blankets, so you intend to be mavato there to raise the floor, even though you do intend to leave it there. Bato daito eito ko adam. Teven, what if you put straw there? Ubitloi havi miyot. That would be considered raising the floor. People do usually leave straw on the floor, and therefore that would be considered minimizing the height of the sukkah by raising the floor. But kol shekein ofar, certainly if you put dirt, ubitloi, that would be considered to be raising the floor. What if you had teven, ve'ein asa lefanoi? So you have straw, which you don't plan on moving, but you didn't declare verbally that you plan on leaving it there. Yeah?
I just don't understand. I mean, this is an idea of the Gemara.
Right.
Why do we care if it's permanent or not permanent, if it fulfills the reasoning behind it?
Very good. Very good. Okay, we'll get to it. Tavin ve'ein asa lefanoi. So what if you have straw that you don't plan on moving, but you didn't declare verbally that you plan to leave it there? Va'ofer stam. Or you put the dirt, and you didn't even plan on leaving it there. You just didn't think about it. It's neither here nor there. So that's machlokes in Rabbi Yosi and the Rabbanon. Disnan bayis shemilo teven oitzrarois. This is discussing the halachas of tumas meis. If we would have in this room cadaver. So then the cadaver, of course, is tumay meis. Whether if you would touch it, that's called tumas maga. If it would be on your, you'd be carrying it, even if you're not touching it. Let's say it would be on the back of my suit, but I'm not, it's not touching my body. That would be called tumas masa. I'm carrying it. And then there's what's known as tumas oyho. Classical tumas oyho is when I lean over the mace. The tumah of the mace projects up or projects down. If the mace would be on top of me, I would become tummy mace. The extension of that from the tumas mace going up and down is that if you're in a room, it fills up the whole room. So if we'd have a mace here, the tumah would go up and spread throughout the room, but it would be contained within this room. It wouldn't extend to whatever is on the top of us on the fourth floor. It would be contained within here, and that's what's known as tumas oyhel. So oyhel literally means I'm leaning over the mace, but an extension from that is if it's in a room, it fills up the entire room. But benefit to tumas oyhel is, or one of the limitations of tumas oyhel is that it stays within this room. It doesn't, once it's in an oyhel, it doesn't extend beyond. What if this entire room would have a mace buried here under dirt that would fill up the entire room? So then this whole thing, there's nothing blocking the tumah from extending to the fourth floor. See, if it fills up the room, the tumah is contained within here, that would be an oyhel, and this is considered to be the makom hames. But if the whole thing is filled with dirt, and this would be like one big caver, for the mace, that would be some very special person who would make an oyhel over here in yeshiva for him. So then the tumah would extend up to the fourth floor because there's nothing blocking it, standing in its way from extending up. Because there's no oyhel in between. So Gemara says, what if you have such a situation? Disnan, baya shemilo teveno tsoros. I have a mace here, and then I put on top of it dirt and pebbles. So the question is that considered to be permanent? Ubitloi, mevutol, ubitloi mevutol. And I say, I'm a vato, I plan on leaving it here on top of the mace. Now, the tumah would extend up to the fourth floor. If it would only be temporary, this room would be considered to be the place, the makom ha-mace, and it wouldn't extend up, even though that right now it's filled with teven and tsoros, but I plan on moving them. But if it's permanent, so then it would be considered to be, you know, since it's permanent, then the tumah, there is no place that's containing the tumah, would extend up to the fourth floor. So this now, b'ay shemil teven otzoros u'bitla mavuto, that's considered to be like it's part of the permanent structure now, and the tumah would extend up. Bitloy in, loy bitloy loy. That's only true if I'm a vatalit, I verbally declare that I plan on leaving it here. What if I don't verbally declare that I plan on leaving it here? Then even though it's Evan Vitzroiris, it's not considered to be bato. Vatani Allah. Rabbi Yossi Yomer, Tevin ve'einos lufanoise, harehu ka'ofer stam. Rabbi Yossi disagrees, and his opinion is that if you have straw here, and you plan on leaving it here, even though you didn't verbally declare that you plan on leaving it here, but that's what your intention is, or you have dirt, and you don't declare either way, you don't even have in mind either way, you're just not thinking about it, it's not that I have in mind to move it. If I have in mind to move it, then Achinami wouldn't consider to be, this would still consider to be the oil mason, wouldn't extend up. But if I don't declare either way, so the offer stam, ubatel, then it would consider to be batel there. And it's considered to be part of the permanent room. But if I have dirt that I plan on moving, that's like straw without thinking about it. That's not considered to be part of the permanent room. But what you do see from here, which is what the Gemara is trying to derive, is that Tevin ve'ein asu lefanoisa or offer stam is a machlekes between the Tanakama, who holds that that's not considered to be batel. The only time it's batel is if I verbally declare I plan on leaving it here. Whereas Rabbi Yossi holds if it's Tevin and I don't plan on moving it, or certainly offer where I don't think about it either way, then it is considered to be batel even though I don't verbally declare. Okay, but there are some items where you batel daita etzadas kol b'nei yadam. If I put pillows and blankets here in order to minimize the height of the sukkah, that doesn't work. Most people would never plan on leaving it there permanently. And if I put things here that people could plan on leaving permanently, and certainly if I declare that I plan on leaving it here, that would minimize the height of the sukkah, and then the sukkah perhaps would be kosher. How long do I have to plan on leaving it there for in order to consider it to be minimizing the height of the sukkah? So Rabbi Yossi, I look at Rashi, top of Daled Amud Aleph, V'af agav debatlinhu, even though the pillows and blankets, you are mavatalet, you plan on leaving it there. How long do you have to plan on leaving it there? L'chol shiva, even though you plan on leaving it there for all 7 days of sukkahs, it's no good, batal da'etel, etel das kol b'nei yadam. But if you have straw and you're mavatalet, or certainly dirt, and you're mavatalet, says Rashi, bipiv, verbally, lishiva, for all 7 days of sukkahs, then it is batel. I don't intend to move it throughout the 7 days of Sukkot, then it is batel, even though I didn't verbally declare. So according to Rashi, how long do you have to leave these items there in order to minimize the height of the sukkah? How long? Forever? No, all 7 days of Sukkot, that's enough. Not forever. Can't be for one day, but it also doesn't have to be forever. The Rosh subscribes to Rashi's position and brings a proof to Rashi's shita. Look over here, Ois Aleph. Kol bitul d'shmaitim perish Rashi l'shiva hayomim. Means for all 7 days of Sukkot. For Rabbeinu Chanan over Rabbeinu Aviho Ezri, that's the Rav Yah, pirshu ad oilom. No, not 7 days of Sukkot. You have to leave it there forever. Forever. So the Rosh says he likes, he prefers Rashi's pshat. V'nira k'perish Rashi, the bitul d'acha calls man mitzvah sukkah. Dumya, it only means as long as Sukkot extends for the topic at hand. Why should it have to be there forever? It only has to be there for as long as this, you plan on putting up the Sukkah here. How long do you plan on leaving the Sukkah here? 7 days. So good, if it's there for 7 days, that's good enough. That's the topic at hand. That's what we're addressing. What's his proof? Dumya demiyot de kais of echarit shebein beis chatzeris. The Gemara Masechet Erevin describes the situation that we, with regards to halacha, we discussed yesterday. We said even if you have two homes that share a courtyard and they're surrounded by walls all around it, and that's considered to be a private domain, you could carry back and forth from one to the other midrash on Shabbos. Midrabban and Shlomo Melchus Masakin that they have to. That's still not good enough because you have two private domains. It really has to be like we're all living symbolically in one place. We have to take bread and put it in one place called the Erev Chatzeros, and that allows us to carry back and forth from one house to the other. But the only time an Erev Chatzeros works is if there's the two properties are contiguous to one another. If you could walk from one to the other, there's a door, there's a walkway, it's possible to access one to the other, then we can make an Erev Chatzeros one to the other. If you can't walk one to the other, we can't make an Erev Chatzeros between the two properties. So what if we have a moat between our two properties? So even if we'd be surrounded by a wall, since there's a moat that runs between our two properties, all the way extends from one end to the other, we couldn't make an Erev Chatzeros. In case it's not like you could walk around or something. We'd have, you know, a moat that runs through and a wall that surrounds our two properties. So we're midaraisa, we're in a private domain, but there's no access one property to the other. Can we make an Erev Chatzeros to our two properties? So Gemara says you can't. But what if I put something there in the moat that will allow us to walk across from one side to the other? So Gemara says, okay, then the two properties will be one, and we can make an Erev Chatzeros between the two properties and allow us to carry not only Midaraisa, but Midarabanan to satisfy the Takan of Shlomo HaMelech, to make like symbolically we're living in one. We'll take a bak of matzahs, put it in one property, symbolically we're living in one, and we can carry back and forth. What if I don't plan on leaving the item there, though, past Shabbos? I plan on leaving this item here just for Shabbos. So the Gemara says, that's as long as it's an item that you can't move on Shabbos, like dirt or like pebbles. Anything that's muksa, that serves no productive purpose on Shabbos would be muksa. So as long as I leave it there and it's something that you can't move on Shabbos because it's muksa, that's okay. And that allows us to have access to the properties and we can make an Erev Chatzeros between the two. Even though how long is it there for? It's just there for Shabbos. That's it. That's good enough. So says the Rosh, if when I'm coming, dealing with halacha of Erev Chatzeros, which is only relevant on Shabbos, all I have to do is leave an item there just for Shabbos. I don't have to intend to leave it there forever. And that's considered to be a walkway between the two properties for that Shabbos. When it comes to sukkah, and we're trying to minimize the height of the sukkah, how long should I have to leave the items that I put? But I have a sukkah that's lamal meser mama, so I want to raise the floor. How long do I have to plan to leave the items there in order for it to be batel? Rashi's pshat makes sense. As long as the issue that's at hand is relevant. How long will sukkahs be relevant? 7 days? As long as you plan on leaving there for all 7 days, that's okay. 1 minute, but what about the tumah case, Rabbi Isai? What about the tumah case? How long do you have to leave the pebbles and the dirt over there? So Gemara implies that you have to leave it there. Lo'elam, ubitlo, mevutal. Those cases, where we're filling this room up with dirt and then the tumah extends up because there's nothing that's containing the tumah, because it goes, it's straight dirt on top, so in which case the tumah pokes out of the top of the room because it's not contained within this room. So that sounds like you're leaving it there forever. So the truth of the matter is, the Ran says no, the tumah as well doesn't mean that you're leaving the pebbles and the straw there forever. Look at the Ran. Ran also subscribes to Rashi's Pshat. Elavade babito l'shiva saki. Uli'inyin tumah calls man shehatumah sham. As long as the tumah is there, that's how long you have to leave the pebbles and the straw there. Umishum haki bekarim batla daito to kol adam, because most people don't leave pillows and blankets on the floor for that long, for 7 days, or certainly for as long as tumah is there. So since we don't leave it on the floor for that long, you'd be batla daito etzadat kol bnei adam. But again, the Ran and the Rosh both subscribe to Rashi's pshat that how long do you have to leave these items there in order to raise the height of the floor and minimize the height of the sukkah would be as long as sukkah extends, as long as the issue that's at hand is relevant. Yeah, what do you want to say now?
Yeah, I was just wondering, my original assumption, the distinction between Tavon and Afar was that Afar never in the future would care to remove, whereas you always have some sort of future value for Tavon, and that the assumption would be is that you will have a time that you remove it. When we're talking about, I'm talking about a time period of forever. That's why Tavon doesn't work necessarily. Because you might end up, who cares about dirt? You'll never pick it up. That's totally valid, totally normal. But you're going to eventually pick up Tavon. To me, it doesn't seem to work with this.
Meaning, why? Because Rashi says, you might not leave it there all 7 days. You might not leave it there even for 7 days. That's why you have to verbally declare that you plan to leave it.
I'm not surprised if you leave it there for 7 days. It's heaven. It's not couches that you go.
Therefore,
as in, the assumption that I'm making is that it has value, but it's close to Afar.
Okay.
So it is a long-term commitment sort of issue.
Okay. I'm losing you. So how does that not fit with this?
Because Rashi makes the assumption that it could be even over Shabbos. If we're running like this, it's just, it is the time period where you're using
right.
it. So then it doesn't really matter. There's the distinction between Tevin and
Tzroros. Oh, why then is there a distinction between Tevin and Tzroros? Is there really, so you must assume for Rashi that there was this meaning, that Tevin was valuable enough that you might move it even within 7 days. That's what you have to assume, or even as long as the Tumah is there. Yeah.
Like, well, I'm still, you're not dealing with, I assume you're not dealing with your business. Like, I mean, just from a practical perspective, you're not picking up your
I mean, I don't know. It's hard for me to get into the psychology of the farmer. It's really very foreign to us how valuable hay and straw was. But I don't know. Yeah. Okay. This is similar, by the way. Shefter likes to connect this pshat of Rashi and the Ran and the Rosh, that you only have to leave the straw and the pebbles there for the 7 days of Sukkot, or the Tumah as long as the Tumah is there, or the close the moat as long as Shabbos extend. He likes to bring this as a support, the basis for a psak of the Bir Halacha and Hilchas Chanukah. The Shulchan Aruch tells us in Hilchas Chanukah, halacha that many people are ignorant of, or just don't pay attention to, perhaps, and that is that you're really supposed to light Neris Chanukah in your house. Let's say I go to visit someone else for Friday night supper, right? Leil Shabbos. And we're going to eat there. So most people are hesitant to light Neris Shabbos at home or Neris Chanukah at home because they're going to leave the candles unattended, which is indeed a fire hazard without dispute. So some people would prefer to light Neiris Shabbos and Neiris Chanukah wherever they're going out to eat. The problem is, says in Shulchan Aruch, is that that's not your home. You might be eating there, you know, for that meal, but you have a primary residence, which is where you're sleeping, and that's really your home. And both of these halachas, both Neiris Shabbos and Neiris Chanukah, are linked to the home. It's like Neir Ishu Beis, so it's an obligation on the individual at his home to light these candles. If you're not in your home, there probably is not an obligation. It's connected with the home. So if you are living, you have one permanent residence, and you have a place where you're eating that night, I mean, it's you, I guess you could call you're residing there somewhat in the sense that you're eating there, you're eating a meal over there, but it's not really your, it's not a competing residence. So then, really, it says in Shulchan Aruch, you should light Neiris Shabbos, you should light Neiris Chanukah in your house, not in the place where you're eating. You really can't light where you're eating. So that's why Neiris Shabbos, people do it. They're not as uncomfortable. It's two candles. Neiris Chanukah already is a lot of candles. So people feel, you know, that they're hesitant to leave the candles unattended. So I tell people, then don't go out Friday night. You know, I'm not telling you to be antisocial, but if you're uncomfortable leaving the Neiris Chanukah in the window unattended, then don't go out. There's one Shabbos Friday night. You can be Michael and go out for lunch instead of Friday night and not leave the candles unattended and, you know, stay home Friday night. But what if I'm going somewhere, not just for one meal Friday night? That's what it says in the Shulchan Aruch. What if I'm going to a meal, though, not just one place Friday night? I'm planning on sleeping there. But I have a house a few blocks away, my permanent residence. But I have a temporary residence where I'm sleeping by you for Shabbos. So then the truth of the matter is, if I have a temporary residence that's, let's say I have a temporary residence that's not accessible to me now. I have a temporary residence in New Jersey, and I'm going to the Five Towns for Shabbos. I plan on sleeping there. So then I can light Neiris Chanukah where I'm sleeping. I'm not going to go back to New Jersey, and it's not within walking distance. It's not accessible to me now, so I'm like a guest who's without a home, and I light at my host's house. Because that's my temporary residence, is what I'm saying. But what if I have my parents live over here? I'm a married individual, it's on my own. I have my own house. I'm over here. My parents are two blocks away. But, you know, kids go to sleep Friday night, so I'd rather go there and sleep there for Chanukah. But my house is around the corner. My house is two blocks away. I could easily walk home. So then it says in the Shulchan Aruch also, really you should go home to light Neiris Chanukah, right Neiris Shabbos. That's your permanent residence. This is your temporary residence. And your permanent residence is accessible to you. You could walk home. It's not like you're in Five Towns and your house is in New Jersey. This is accessible to you. So really you should go and light at home. You shouldn't light at your host's house, your parents' house, something like that. But what if I'm going to stay there all 8 nights of Chanukah? I'm going to camp out over there. So then, the Bir Halacha claims, then that's considered to be your permanent residence. Why is it your permanent residence? So Bir Halacha says, because you're going to be there all of Chanukah. Since you're going to be there all of Chanukah, it's like your permanent residence. Even though I have my place where I really live, two blocks away, I could easily walk home. And on a typical Friday night, we tell you, you got to walk home. This is your temporary residence. You might be sleeping here or eating here for the night, but your permanent residence is two blocks away. That's where you really live. You should really go and light over there. And that's what we tell you if you're only sleeping over Friday night. The Bir Halacha says on his own, if you're sleeping there all 8 nights of Hanukkah, that becomes like your permanent residence, and you can light by the temporary residence, you know, which is 2 blocks away from your primary home. Even though after Hanukkah, you're going to go home. If you sleep there all 8 nights of Hanukkah, that's like your permanent residence. And the Bir Halacha doesn't quote a source for this. He says it kind of says it on his own. So Shechter likes to explain that the reason, or perhaps the basis for the Bir Halacha's assumption or his argument that if you're staying there for all 8 nights of Hanukkah, that becomes like your permanent residence, he thinks is based perhaps on Rashi and the Ran and the Rosh over here, that if you plan on leaving the stones and the straw over there for all 7 days of Sukkot, that's considered to be batel. Or as long as the Tumah is there, that's considered to be batel. Even though it's not batel li'olam, it's only batel for the 7 days of Sukkot or for Shabbos, or as long as the Tumah is there, that's considered to be mavutal. That's considered to be batel, and this is its place. So too, if you plan on camping out somewhere for Sukkah, for Hanukkah, even though you really don't live there, you could light Neiros Hanukkah. You could light Neiros Hanukkah over there with a bracha. That's, and you don't have to go home to your permanent residence. Rav Shechter, this is very important for Rav Shechter because he has a major problem about where we're supposed to light over here in the campus. If you've been here for a while, you're already aware, because he really thinks you should light in the dormitory rooms. That's your permanent residence. That's your private residence. We eat sometimes, you know, we eat in the dorm, the lunchroom, and we eat in the different lounges, perhaps, different restaurants, but that's, you know, you might make some sort of, you know, act of residency by eating in the cafeteria. That's not your private residence. There's hundreds of people over there. Where's your private residence, your preferred residence? If they would have room service in yeshiva, everybody would eat in their room. I think without a doubt, why would people go to the cafeteria? Maybe it's a new revenue stream that Rabbi Berman could explore. But if we would, people would bring it to the room, everyone would prefer to have it in the room. So that's your primary residence. You should really light in the room. Rav Shechter has a problem, which of course they will never let the Talmidim do, rightly so, because it's a fire hazard. So we're stuck. Where are you going to light? You can't light in the lunchroom. That's your secondary residence. Your primary residence is in the dormitory. So Rav Shechter used to recommend a long time ago that people should go and sleep in the apartments. If you have a friend who has an apartment, go sleep in the apartment. Ah, that's a temporary residence. You're only sleeping there for one night. The next day after Sukkot pays, this Chanukah is over, you're going to go back to your dorm room. What does it help that I'm sleeping there? I have my primary residence is accessible. I should really go back to my dorm room. So if Shechter argue, you know, you have to camp out there for all 8 days of Chanukah. If you camp out there for all 8 days of Chanukah, that's like your permanent residence, and then you could lie in the apartment with a bracha. So Shechter's real chassidim used to, instead of lighting in the dormitory in one of the ad hoc places they make to light, used to go sleep in the apartments as long as they stayed there for 8 nights of Hanukkah. So around Hanukkah time is good idea. Avoid of Shechter's Talmidim. If you don't want people camping out in your apartment, you know, don't walk by them. Anyway. Okay, that's Rashi's opinion. Rashi, the Rosh, the Ran, is that you don't have to leave it there forever, just leave it there for the 7 days of Sukkot. However, the Rosh quoted the opinion of Rabbeinu Chanano and the Rav Yoh, they know you have to leave it there forever. Yeah, you have to leave it there forever. According to that Shita that you have to leave it there forever, what about the Gemara Maseches Erevin? If you remember, that was the case with the two houses with the moat in between. So the Gemara said, well, if you leave it there just for Shabbos, and it's an item that you can't move on Shabbos, that's good enough to allow you to make an Erev Chatzeros between the two properties and to carry back and forth and to satisfy the Tekan of Shlomo HaMelech Medrabanan, to make it symbolically like we're all living in one place and you can carry back and forth. Even though you only left it there for Shabbos, if you're going to learn in our Gemara that how long do you have to leave the stones there and the straw there is for not just for the 7 days of Sukkot, but forever, and the Gemara by Tumah in order to fill up the room and make the Tumah extend beyond this room all the way up, the only time is if you leave the stones and the straw here forever. So then how come when it comes to the Gemara Maseches Erevin, it's enough if you leave it there just for Shabbos? So the Ritva explains, according to that position, the time of the Ba'inam Bitul Le'olam, those who hold that you need to be Mavatul forever, is Kadesh Lo Yimlach Litloy. It's because otherwise we're afraid at any moment you might come and take it. If I say I plan on leaving it permanently, that's a permanent thing. You're never going to take it. But if I say I plan on leaving it temporarily, but at some point I'm going to take it, you might change your mind and decide to take it early. So in which case, it's never batel, even for the 7 days of Sukkot, it's not batel, because you already said you plan on moving it. You might move it forward a few days and take it during Sukkot. So therefore, even though now you have a mind to leave it there all 7 days of Sukkot, you might end up deciding to move it early. But if you plan on leaving there forever, so then you're never planning on moving it, then that's considered to be batel. So he says that's only true with something. We only have to be afraid of that if it's something that can be moved early. But here, this is an item that you can move on Shabbos. It's also to move on Shabbos. It's muksa on Shabbos. Oh, so we're not afraid. You're going to move it early. That's why the Gemara Masechta Zeirvin says it's enough if you plan to leave it there for Shabbos. But generally speaking, because you can't move it now. But generally speaking, many of you Rishonim held that you have to be mavatal at their li'olam forever in order to minimize the height of the sukkah. Otherwise, we're always afraid that you're going to move it. Since you plan on moving it later, we're afraid you're going to start already moving it a little bit earlier. So we have machlekes rishonim. Some rishonim hold in order to minimize the height of the sukkah, you have to be mavatal there forever. And some rishonim hold that you don't have to be mavatal there forever. You only have to be mavatal there for the 7 days of sukkahs. And that's perhaps halacha that applies in many different areas of halacha, that as long as you plan on be mavatal there for the duration, the halacha that it's relevant to, that would be sufficient. And other rishonim hold, no, you have to be mavatal there forever. Perhaps this machlekes rishonim is really hinging on a deeper issue. And that is, what is the problem that we are, trying to address? Is the problem that a sukkah that's lamala from 20 amos is not a good sukkah? I mean, the sukkah is no good. So if the sukkah is no good, it's a possible sukkah, meaning the sukkah itself is possible. So then, in order to correct the situation, what do I need to do? Raise the ground. If you want to raise the ground level, of the dirt that's on, the floor that's underneath it, so then some Rishonim hold, you have to be mavatal there forever. How could it be that you plan on only leaving there for the 7 days of Sukkot, but this is called a new ground level? It can't be. You plan on moving it after Sukkot. How could this be called part of the ground? It's like one of those plates that they put on top of the road over here. If you plan on moving it, that's not part of the road. If you never plan on moving it, sometimes they never move these construction plates. And I mean, it's been there, seems like it's been there forever. So if you never plan on moving it, okay, that's a new ground level. But if you plan on moving it at some point, how can we call it a new ground level? So that's why, and therefore it can't minimize the height of the sukkah or raise the ground because you plan on moving it. So though Rishonim who hold that the reason why that you have to leave it there forever, perhaps understood that the sukkah is itself a pasul when it's lamal me'aser mama, and therefore, in order to validate the sukkah, make a kasha, minimize the height of the sukkah, you have to raise the floor. In order to do that, you have to leave it there forever. The other Rishonim who held you don't have to leave it there forever; you only have to leave it there for the 7 days of sukkah. Is perhaps understood that the problem here, we're not trying to raise the floor. If you'd be trying to raise the floor, you'd have to leave it there forever. They understood that a sukkah that's lamal me'aser mama fundamentally is a kasher sukkah. What's the problem? The problem is that you can't have a yeshiva sukkah if you're so far away from the schach. You're so far away from the schach, as we've discussed the different reasons why a sukkah l'malam ayasa mama is no good. But if you're so far away from the schach, even though the sukkah, perhaps, in theory is kosher, your yeshiva's sukkah is lacking. So what can I do to fix the situation? If I raise myself within the sukkah, now I'm within 20 amos to the schach. Now my yeshiva sukkah has become kosher. In which case, well, you could say, well, why can't I then? I just stand on top of a temporary item and call, and now my yeshiva sukkah is closer to the schach. The answer is because if you're just standing on the table, so then that your yeshiva sukkah is really going based on the ground that's underneath it. But if you at least raise the floor for the duration of sukkahs, I could begin to understand how one could argue that your yeshiva sukkah is now taking place at a higher elevation, and now you're within 20 amos to the sukkah, and that should be good enough as long as it's there for the duration of sukkahs. Yeah.
I'm having trouble separating, especially according to the second opinion. Is it practical that you need to be high? And if so, you're saying even so, practically, if you're high but you're on a table, somehow it's still
higher. You're not higher. Then if you're on a table, you're standing on a table. But the ground, but the your yeshiva sukkah is still taking place lower.
Why does it matter?
For the same reason that we don't say a person who's 7 feet tall has, could have a taller sukkah than a person who's 4 feet tall. It goes based on where your feet are. It goes based on where, the floor of the sukkah is. So what I'm saying is, if it's not a problem with the sukkah itself is not invalidated, the problem is, you can have a sukkah l'mal me'aser mama, but the problem is your yeshiva sukkah is lacking. You're too far away from the schach. So then one can make the argument, as long as you raise the floor, even though it's not permanently going to be like that, but you raise it at least temporarily for sukkahs, then I could begin to understand, well, then your yeshiva sukkah has become changed by virtue of the fact that you've raised the floor at least for sukkahs. But if the sukkah itself is no good, if you want to be machshir the sukkah, then I think one would have to raise the floor to a greater degree, in the sense that you really have to raise the floor in a permanent fashion. In which case, perhaps you have to be mavatal there li'alam. Yeah.
Well, wouldn't it depend on the reason why it wouldn't be a kosher sukkah? Because if we're going to say that it wouldn't be a kosher sukkah because it's not temporary.
Perhaps. Some take go in that direction. Perhaps it relates to Rava, Rabba, and Rav Zeira, which might, some are more focused on the sukkah, some are more focused on the yeshiva sangavra. It could be. You could make that argument. But as we'll see, we all passing like Rava, and yet we're still going to end up having a machlokes rishonim about this core issue. We all passing like Rava, that it's not because you have to see the schach. It's not because you have to... It's not because you have to be sitting in the shade of the schach as opposed to the shade of the walls. It's rather because your walls have to be able to be made temporarily. And if it's l'malam ayasar amma, your walls cannot be made temporarily. So that's a question. One second, I'll get to your point in 1 second. That's a shaila that the Meiri asks. Okay, let's say you raised the floor. You minimized the height of the sukkah. Why does that now validate the sukkah? The Meiri asks, v'yeshoim l'das rova. According to rova, which is the way we paskin. Shapire she'inim mishum diras keva. Why is the sukkah that's l'mal me'esem rama no good? Mishum diras keva. Because the walls now have to be made in permanent fashion. Ma ho'il miut zeh. How does raising the floor affect the walls? Uma inim l'kar miksas shifku es ha'keva re'ah defanos mikol mokum gevoyos. The walls, either way, are still 20 yards tall. And the roof is going to need a permanent structure underneath it. You can't make it in a temporary structure if it's so tall. So that's why the Meiri says, some of Farshim say, you're right, that this whole sugya is not following Rava. It can't work for Rava, because according to Rava, either way, the walls are still going to have to be made in a permanent fashion. You can't avoid it, yeah?
Can we say we're just halakhically treating the new floor level as the true level halakhically?
So that's what the Meiri answers, according to the second opinion. Yesh mefarsh shmu azu v'chein kol nimshach zachreha be'inyin miyot l'das rabba v'rab zeyra nemru v'lo l'das rabba. Shul l'das rabba ein hashu b'miyot klal. According to Rava, the walls are still permanent because they have to support the schach. There's still 20 amos off the ground that's around it. Even though I filled the inside of the sukkah, the ground that's around it is still much lower. So the walls and the schach are still 20 amos above that ground level, in which case it will have to be made in a keva fashion, and the sukkah should still be no good. But then the Meiri says, "Va'av gedolei apayzgim henichum tchigo milakasim bilchaseim." That's why some rishonim never brought this gemara. Ala sha'achar kach higiyum v'chazur v'yastum. But then many felt that we should accept this gemara. V'chein kol ha'mechaber meviim v'chibureim. Everyone brings this halacha. Af al pi shekulam payzgim kirova. Even though we paskin like Rava, everyone, all of the Rishonim, bring this Gemara l'alocha. Why? V'nira hatam, ipnei shekol shemiyata royin es hamiyot kekarka gomor. This is the new floor. V'ilu hayakarka reynim satfano shein gefoyas v'yachol atzois binin arai. This is the new floor level. So since this is the new floor level, I could have built new walls. We have to reassess the situation, like a tax reassess. You know, we'd have to reassess the situation. And since we can now build the walls in a temporary fashion, the sukkah would now become kosher. Even though when it was built, the walls were 20 amos tall and could not be built in a temporary fashion and was no good, now that I've raised the floor, the sukkah is good. I've been machshir the sukkah. But that's only, perhaps, if you're mavatal there forever. Then I could say, I've changed the ground level. But if I'm not mavatul there forever, I'm only mavatul there for the 7 days of Pesach, for the 7 days of Sukkot, I don't think we could view this as a new ground level. I think then one would have to argue, and this is perhaps how Rashi and the Rosh and the Ran understood, and that is that this is not a problem with the Sukkah. A Sukkah could be more than 20 amos tall. Perhaps even for Rava, a Sukkah could be more than 20 amos tall. The problem is, I can't sit in such a Sukkah when I'm so far away from the Schach, or in a Sukkah that's situated like this. So as long as I fix the floor for Sukkot, that has changed my yeshiva's hagavra, and now I can sit in such a sukkah. But the sukkah, perhaps, fundamentally, in theory, was kosher. We'll understand this distinction a little bit more in a second. Yeah.
Okay, based on what you're saying, you brought the point that a tall person...
Right.
Is tall, does that change?
We go based on the floor level, not where your head is.
So I wouldn't necessarily run with the assumption that it's based on the floor level, because especially if it's having to do with seeing, I can't imagine you're seeing from your feet.
Right.
So I would make the assumption that it's the average person, or with the average person. And in addition to that, since we're saying couches don't work, it has to be an average person's experience over the...
Well, you have to do something that raises the floor. Couches don't raise the floor.
No, the couches do raise it. If they're covering the entire floor, the problem there is that that might not last all sukkahs, right? That's
what right, right.
So then I would conclude that a sukkah that does not last all sukkahs would have the same problem, because it's the same issue. We need, what we're concluding here is that we need a sukkah that will give this experience throughout the entire sukkahs. So a sukkah whose walls might fall down or get blown away.
I don't know if the two are now. That's not the same. Because here we...
Let's see why not.
Because here we're trying to create a new... You're trying to create an artificial ground level. See, you're trying to take an existing sukkah and say, I'm sitting higher than I am. So in order to do that, it would have to be something that's somewhat permanent. The question is, how permanent does it have to be? Rashi says all 7 days of sukkahs, other Rishonim say you have to leave it there forever. But the sukkah doesn't have to necessarily last all of sukkahs.
Why does...
Because the sukkah is not trying to change reality. The sukkah is a... You're trying to change reality and tell me the floor is higher than it is.
I don't see why we have to be concerned about reality. We need to deliver some sort of experience through our whole setup, right?
Right, but you don't get the experience by sitting on top of 10 pillows.
You do, because you're currently...
No, because those pillows are not permanent. So the experience is... That's like jumping in the air. It's also no good.
No.
Because that's not
with the issue we find...
The permanence is what delivers the experience. And I'm not even willing to necessarily concede it's an experience. The mitzvah is the mitzvah. I can't. I'm not going to start, speculating what the purpose of the mitzvah is. Is it to deliver an experience, or is it just something that's beyond their understanding? I don't know about it. I'm not willing to concede that point necessarily.
All right.
Okay, but let's see. We'll see this machlok is expressed in another area as well. And let's say, look on in the Gemara. The Gemara discusses the following situation. Where are we? Here. Right where the last of the wide lines before the pictures in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Haisega voyame eser mama. If a sukkah is taller than 20 amos, ubanaba itzdaba, kenege doivin ansoi. You built a platform opposite the middle wall. I assume everyone has the picture in their Gemara. Al pnei ku, and it goes the entire width of the sukkah, but not the entire length. V'yejba hechshra sukkah. It has 7 tefachim by 7 tefachim, the minimum size of the sukkah. V'yejba hechshra sukkah ksheira. Umin hatzad, okay, and we'll get to the situation min hatzad in a second. So Rashi, on that Gemara writes, if you have that platform, okay, which is 7 tefachim by 7 tefachim, and that raises, minimizes the height of the sukkah by raising the floor. I assume you plan on leaving it there for whatever duration of sukkahs you have to leave it, either for off sukkahs or forever, you plan on leaving it there. So then, the sukkah is kosher. What part of the sukkah is kosher? What part of the sukkah is kosher? So Rashi says, Kshera. Look at Rashi. Rashi is like 6 lines down in the middle lines, the semi-wide lines in Rashi. Rashi writes, Kshera, Kol ha-sukkah, the whole sukkah is kosher. Sheyesh le-gimel d'fanos. V'hai hechsha sukkah, afilu min ha-itz d'bav ha-halah. Even beyond the platform is kosher. Even beyond the platform is kosher. How could it be kosher beyond the platform? So Rashi is basing himself in the Gemara later on in Daf Yutes Med Aleph. Rabbi Shai, turn to Daf Yutes Med Aleph. The Gemara there discusses the case. Of the Pesach HaYotze Min HaSukkah. Right after the picture over there. If you look at the case in Yutes Med Aleph, there's a picture in the Gemara. And then there's a brisa right after. Tana. Pesach ha-yoytze min ha-sukkah nidon kesukkah. A pesach, which is standing out of the sukkah, is part of the sukkah. My pesach ha-yoytze min ha-sukkah. What is a pesach ha-yoytze min ha-sukkah? Pesach is miloshon psoilas, which is like schach. Schach that extends out of the sukkah, which is made from psoilas, from things that grow from the ground. So that extension from the sukkah is good too. What's the extension from the sukkah that's being discussed? That's kosher. Amar Ula, kanim hayoytem la'chayrei sukkah. If I have 3 walls of the sukkah, right? Wall, 3 walls of the sukkah, and the schach extends forward. What if the schach extends backwards, beyond the back wall of the sukkah? So Ula says that's kosher. You can sit behind that back extension. V'habayinan shalosh defanos. 1 minute, but you need three walls. So Gemara says b'di'ika. You have three walls that extend back, so it's kind of like an H-shaped sukkah. Okay, so you have three walls that extend. V'habayinan hechsher sukkah. It has to be 7 tefachim by 7 tefachim. B'di'ika. There is. So it's literally symmetrical or H. Each side within the H is 7 tefachim by 7 tefachim. You have three walls on each side. It has to be more shade than some. B'di'ika, there is. So what's the chiddush? What are you telling me? Pesel yetz min asukkah is kosher. That's a real sukkah. Since the middle wall, the middle bar of the H was only made for one side, it wasn't made for the other side. Only one side of the H should be kosher, not the other side. Kamash malon, that both sides are kosher. Okay. You don't need the walls to be made to enclose that area, even if it's made to enclose a different area, the sukkah is kosher. We know this halacha. You could use one of the walls of your house as a sukkah wall, even though it wasn't made for the sukkah, it was made for the house. That's still kosher. Rabba v'rabbi Yosef amit shavayu hocha b'kanim hayoytzim with nimin ha-sukkah. No. Here we're talking about where the schach extends beyond the sukkah. Okay, Rabbi Yosef, I have like a U. And then if you could just picture it in your mind, I'm sorry, I don't have a marker here. If you had a U, but one side of the U extends up. So it's like an L with a one long bar, one short bar, and then it comes up a little bit, but it doesn't extend all the way up. But the schach covers everywhere. Goes all the way up with the top part of the extended bar of the U. Goes all the way up and covers the entire area. So which part of the sukkah is kosher? Only within the enclosed area of the bottom part of, the U with the extended bar up. Is it only with the bottom, the part where it's enclosed by three walls? Or does the hechsher of the sukkah continue up throughout the rest under, as long as you're underneath the schach? So the opinion of Rabbi Rav Yosef Rav Mitzvah, V'ayohokha b'kan v'yotz m'fnim in ha-sukkah, u'mashcha v'yazah chada doifin ba'dayu, one walk sends all the way up, that is kosher. Ma'al d'tema ha-lezba hechsher sukkah, I might have said, 1 minute, there aren't three walls over there, kamash mulan, then it's kosher. So getting back to our situation over here in Dalam and Aleph, Rashi says this is the same. And that is that if I have this sukkah, which is l'mal l'me'eser mama, but I build a platform at the back of the U over here, so, and that's 7 tefachim by 7 tefachim wide. That has yesh by hechsher sukkah, the minimum size of the sukkah. Not only can I sit on top of the platform, I could even sit on the part of the sukkah that is where it's lamala me'eser mamav, which is not on top of the platform. Why? It's no different than sitting in underneath the pesel hayoytzim in a sukkah. I have a U, but one wall extends up and the schach extends further. Even though this part and the upper part is not covered, enclosed within the three walls, you can still sit there. This is no different than sitting in the other part of the sukkah that's not on the raised platform. Yeah.
Are you saying it's like you have the sukkah? Imagine a two-level sukkah. The second level would not be kosher.
No, it's this. I have walls like this. Yeah. See this? Walls like this. But the schach extends like this. And I want to sit here. I want to sit in
that's a top view.
To use Israel terms, I want to sit in area B.
This is a top view.
Aerial view.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. I want to sit in area B. But that's not in the enclosure of the three walls. Gemara says that's okay. So look, Rashi, that's the same as sitting in the rest of the sukkah that's not on top of the platform. What's the difference? The whole sukkah becomes kosher. Since part of it is within closed within three walls, part of it is on the platform, I can sit in the rest of the sukkah too. Okay? That's Rashi Shita. The Rosh over here, Oishei, quotes in the name of Rabbeinu Yeshaya, V'hishar Rabbi Yeshaya, Mehecha Teisi V'hesher. How can that be good? What if I had a sukkah that had half schach kosher and half schach posel? Half the sukkah is not underneath the tree, half the sukkah is underneath the tree. Half the sukkah is schach that's made of things that grow from the ground, the other half is all plastic. Can you sit under the part of the sukkah that's underneath the plastic? Can you sit underneath the part of the sukkah that's underneath the tree? No, everybody knows this. Why not? Why is that any different than the pesel hayoytzim min ha-sukkah? That's not the same. The two cases are different. Because this is all schach kosher, this is schach posel. So the Rabbi Yeshaya claims, our case of the bonobo itzibah, I have three walls, which are all the tzchach l'mal meisam ramah, and I put the platform inside of it, so on top of the platform is kosher, the rest is like tzchach posel, how can I sit there? That's the argument of Rabbeinu Yeshayah. So the Rosh defends Rashi, v'nirali l'kayim perish Rashi, u'mach shehikshe misukah shechetzi tzchach posel, on the third line, that which he has from a sukkah that half of it is chach posel, half of it is chach kosher, loy domi, deschach lamala mechof loy mikri schach posel. Schach that's higher than 20 amos tall is not called schach posel at all. Okay, the pirush Rabbeinu Tam, as Rabbeinu Tam explained, we'll see, and maybe when we get to it on the Testament base, is a sheet of Rabbeinu Tam, that schach is lamala meyasumam is called schach kosher. Demin kosher hu vein onifso machmas goiva. It, practically, it doesn't work because it's 20 amos tall, but it is schach kosher, meaning the sukkah is fundamentally a sukkah kshera. Hilka came in the mixas kshera. Edoch nidon kipesel yotzim in a sukkah, and you can sit underneath the whole sukkah. So the Stipler explains what Rabbeinu Tam with the Rosh and what Rashi are telling us is that a sukkah that's lamala meyeser mama. This is Rashi shita l'shitasai. A sukkah that's lamala meyeser mama is really fundamentally a kosher sukkah. There's a problem that you can't sit in such a sukkah. It's lacking in yeshiva's hagavra if it's more than 20 amos tall. But the sukkah is not like a sukkah psula. It's a sukkah kshera. Therefore, Rashi's opinion is, as long as you're butter bar isba on part of it, I make it that the yeshiva sukkah is valid. At least on part of it, because I'm sitting on a platform, the rest of the sukkah can become kosher because by virtue of the fact that it's attached to that part where I can sit, because fundamentally it's a sukkah kshera. There's a problem that you have to sit within 20 amos of the schach. So as long as part of it is within 20 amos of the schach, it's similar to with part of it being sitting within three walls. As long as part of it is within three walls, the rest of the sukkah is kosher. So too here, as long as part of it is within 20 amos of the schach, the rest of the sukkah can become kosher too. And Rabbeinu Yeshayah disagrees. He held like those Rishonim who held you had to be Mavata, the Tevin, and the Tzorah is there forever. Their opinion is, no, this sukkah is psua. You have to raise the ground level. You want to raise the ground level, minimize that of the sukkah, you got to be Mavata there forever. Because otherwise, the sukkah is a sukkah psua. By the same token as well, Rabbeinu Yeshayah holds that just because part of the sukkah is kosher, because there's a platform there, it doesn't necessarily indicate you can sit in the rest of the sukkah. Yeah. Is psua. Question is a sukkah psua or I can't sit there and be yotzei my mitzvah of sukkah?
I mean, we said lo yotzei.
We're splitting hairs.
Huh? The Gemara itself made a very clear distinction that the language of lo yotzei covers that, whereas psua covers the sukkah.
One is focused on the other, one is focused on the one, yeah. As a person, lo yotzei is psua, yeah. I think either one can be satisfied with either, in the end of the day, the result is the same, that you can't sit in such a sukkah. So, but the question is it because I have to be within, the question is, what's the focus? Is it that I have to be within 20 amos of the schach, but fundamentally the sukkah, is not necessarily a puzzle? Or is the problem that the sukkah itself is puzzle as it is, it's like schach puzzle?
Right, that's what I'm saying, but that distinction was made in the Gemara, so to say that Rashi holds the distinction is not on the puzzle side, I think.
That's he's drawing. Rashi makes that distinction himself. Rashi says you can sit in the rest of the sukkah. How can I sit in the rest of the sukkah? I'm sitting underneath schach posel.
I'm not saying the interpretation of Rashi. I'm saying I don't understand.
The language would be difficult for Rashi. Yeah. 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 One other issue that might be related to this machleg sabishayinim, as to what is the nature of the psu of a schach l'malam echof ama, is an issue that's raised by the Rosh. The Rosh writes, on the Gemara later on. Let's move on to the Gemara. Again, the Gemara said, if it was taller than 20 amos, and I built a platform against the back wall, so you can sit on top of the platform, and the machlek is reshining about sitting under the rest of the sukkah. What if I build a platform in the middle of the sukkah? So the Gemara says, where is this? Here. Right by the Zion of the Ein Mishpah near Mitzvah, about the eight lines from the bottom, nine lines from the bottom. First word on the line is Haisa, Haisa Gavoya Mechof Ama, Ubana Istaba Be'emtza Isa. It was taller than 20 amas tall, and I built a platform in the middle of the Sukkah. So, Em Yesh Misfas Istaba Ugodaif and Arba Amas Ochavuach, Psula Pachas Me Arba Amas Ksheira. So the Gemara says if it's within, and this is what we'll address next time. Next time in Mishnah, we're going to discuss Doif and Akuma. There's too many topics on that I'm going to have to run through. If we didn't spend time in Daif and Akuma, we wouldn't It's kilu, we didn't learn Masechta Sukkah, so I have to do that. But the Gemara says, if it's within Dalet Amos of the walls, so we view the wall as if it curves, and it's called Daifin Akuma, the wall as if it curves, and then the Sukkah is kasha. However, if it's more than Dalet Amos from the walls, we cannot view the walls as curved. It's just too far for the walls to curve, in which case the Sukkah is possible. Okay, so again, you have your sukkah that's amal me'asamama. I build in the middle a platform. If it's within four amos to at least two or three of the walls, so then we can say doif and akuma, and you can sit on top of the platform. If it's more than four amos away, you cannot sit on top of the platform. You can't say doif and akuma. You can't view the walls as if they're bending to sit on top of the platform. How tall is this platform? So Rabbi said, look in the Rosh. Over here, Oisvav. The Rosh writes, Bana itzdaba. In the middle of the sukkah, I built a platform. Im yesh misvas itzdeba, v'lo kaisel arba amas. If I have four amas or more between there and the walls, it's possible. Pachos mikan k'sher d'armin and daifin akuma. Kasav ritz geus. The Rosh says ritz geus, right? Uvovash shaloi tehei itzdeba gavoya miyut tfachim. If the itzdeba is 10 tfachim tall, then it's considered to be a Rishus Acheresi. That's like its own domain. Shabbos, this is the case. It extends throughout the halachas of carrying on Shabbos. If I have a raised platform, which is, and Shabbos is different than Sukkah, you don't need 7x7, but if I have 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim, that's the minimum shear of a mokoim in Hilchos Shabbos for carrying. If it's 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim, no. Yeah. 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim. No. 4 amos by 4 amos. Anyway, if it's 10 tefachim off the ground, so then that's considered to be a new ground level. It's considered to be a private domain. Its own private domain. So says the Ritz Geus over here, that if I have this platform is raised 10 tefachim off the ground, that's considered to be its own domain, and I can't say Doif and Akuma now to allow you to sit on top of the platform. When can you sit on top of the platform? If it's less than 10 tefachim tall. Less than 10 tefachim tall, that's the minimum size of a mechitza in Hilchos Shabbos is 3 feet. We mentioned a few times, 10 tefachim is 3 feet. That's the minimum size of mechitza. If it's 3 feet off the ground, then the itzdeba is its own reshus, and the walls can't relate to it. But if it's less than 10 tefachim, then they can relate to it. And says the Rosh, V'lo yadayna time amai. Mai nafkamina de reshus acheresi. Who cares that it's a different reshus? Came in the Amar Doifin Akuma Mikol Tzad. Since we can say Doifin Akuma from all four sides, which is the conclusion of the Gemara, Harei Istaba Mukefes Mechitzos Umuvdalas Mishara Sukkah. It's part of the Sukkah. But Dami was Sukkah Amedes Beroish Hagag Roshus Acheresi Lagavi Chatzu Balaita. Okay, the Balaita allows it even if it's more than 10 tefachim tall. Why should the Ritz Geus have a problem if it's 10 tefachim tall? What's he concerned about? So Shachli explains in his Sefer Be'ikvei Hatzon that he thinks the Ritz Geus is following the similar argument to the Rabbeinu Yeshaya and to those Rishonim who hold that you have to be Mevatel of heaven and the Tzoros there forever. That the Ritz Geus feels that a sukkah that's l'malam e'yasamama is not a kosher sukkah at all. It's a problem with the cheftza of the sukkah. Sukkah is not a sukkah if it's taller than 20 amos tall. And therefore, by building this platform in the middle, you want to convert something that's not a sukkah into something that is a sukkah. So the Ritz Geus is telling us a rule of mechitzas, and that is that a mechitza cannot relate to a different ground level than it's currently situated on. Let's say in Hilchos Shabbos, this comes up all the time. What do you have in order to be a Rishus HaYachid? What do you have to be a private domain in Shabbos? You have to have four walls on all the sides, right? But, it's halacha we're going to get to, I think Adam with Beis, is a principle Allah Sinai called good asik mechitza. Once I have a mechitza, we visualize a mechitza that if it goes all the way up to the sky. So let's say I would this building would be a Rishus HaYochid. The Rishus HaYochid extends all the way up to the sky. Good asik mechitza. Mechitzas are oilos ad harakia. They go all the way up. So why don't we say the following thing? Why don't we say that wherever the A train runs, or wherever the one train runs, wherever is on top of the one train, or on top of the A train, should be a Rishus HaYochid. Why? Because underneath the ground there are walls, probably four walls, So wherever the train is, there are four walls. The four walls continue to, you know, we visualize them as if they extend all the way up to the sky. So wherever the subway is, that should automatically be. It's just high up. So as long as you walk through Manhattan on top of a subway line, you don't need a eruv. Those are mechitas underneath. So Rav Moshe explains, and many others, Chazon Ish as well as others, is that mechitos only relate to the ground level on which they're built. They can't relate to a new ground level. Let's say on top of the subway is covered underneath the ground. So the mechitos, yes, relate to that ground level, and if there would be no ground level on top of them, they would extend all the way up to the sky. But once there's a ground level that's built on top of them, the mechitos cannot relate to the upper ground level. Or let's say, for example, we would have walls that people thought this was the case, it certainly is not, that there were walls all around all of Manhattan. Let's say in theory that there were. So it would still be a problem to walk across the George Washington Bridge into New Jersey on Shabbos. Why? There's walls all the way around Manhattan. Why can't I walk on the George Washington Bridge? The answer is because the mechitzos are underneath on the side of Manhattan. The George Washington Bridge goes over. That's a different ground level. Mechitzos only relate to the ground level on which to build. That's what the Ritz Geus is telling us. So the Ritz Geus argues, since the sukkah, that's Lamal Me'asa Mama, is no good, you want to take walls that are not walls of a sukkah, and now convert them into the walls of the sukkah. Where is the sukkah going to be? On top of this platform. But they can't relate one to the other. You're taking walls that are built on one ground level and trying to relate them to a platform which rests at a different ground level. Walls from one ground level cannot relate to an area that's on a different ground level. That's like the walls of the subway serving to render Broadway as a Rosh Hashayachid. They're two different ground levels. They're two don't relate. However, Rav Schechter argues that the Rosh disagreed in terms of he understood that the sukkah that's Lamal Me'asa Mama is not a sukkah psula. You're not trying to take walls that aren't the walls of a sukkah and render them all of a sudden now walls of a sukkah. A sukkah that's Lamal Me'asa Mama is kosher. That's not the problem with the sukkah. The problem is with the Yeshivas Hagava, that's the focus, is that you can't sit in a sukkah where you're so far away from the schach. So therefore, it could be that the Rosh would argue, even though you can't take walls that relate to one ground level and walls on one ground level and argue that they relate to this ground level, but l'maisa of the sukkah is kasha. The walls of a sukkah of this sukkah that's l'mamei esamama are walls of the sukkah. The problem is you're sitting too far away from them. So as long as I built a platform, you know, which is permanent, that raises me to within closer proximity to the schach, and the walls of the sukkah, you know, the walls of the sukkah were the walls of the sukkah before, but they're close to the schach that I'm sitting underneath, because based on the principle of doif and akuma, so then perhaps the sukkah could be kosher. Meaning the Rosh is assuming that the sukkah is a sukkah, and therefore the platform that's contained within the sukkah should really be part of the sukkah. The problem is, the yeshiva's hagavra is you're sitting too far away from the schach. But the sukkah itself, in theory, you know, we don't necessarily have as much of a problem with the sukkah, we have more of a problem focused on the yeshiva's hagavra. So if we raise you up in a permanent way, as long as you're within some proximity to the schach that you're sitting underneath, is within some proximity to the walls, so then we can view you as if you're sitting in a kasher sukkah. However, the Ritz Geus views a sukkah that's Lamal Me'asa Mama as a possible sukkah. So you're trying to take walls that are not part of a sukkah and relate them to a platform that is on a different ground level. The two don't relate. So perhaps an underlying issue in this machlekes in the Rosh and the Ritz Geus also might be whether or not the sukkah Lamal Me'asa Mama, the psul, is focused on the sukkah. Or perhaps the psul, the main problem we're trying to deal with is on the fact that you're sitting too far away from the sky. Okay, sure. Tomorrow we're going to stay on Dalam and Aleph. There's a lot to see about that. Thank you. Yeah, go ahead.